God is a good God. Amen. I don't know. I could feel the anointing tonight. It's just it's awesome. But God's a good God. I actually, for the first time in a long time, I'm preaching this Wednesday night and next Wednesday night. So we're going to do a two-part series. All right. So I figured, well, if I'm going to do a two-part series, I should do what I do best. So we're going to do a two-part series on the subject of faith. Amen. Because it's important to have faith. But I'm going to start off with John 10:10. We know that we do a lot. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, I think one thing that the devil tries to steal from us is our faith. Because without faith, we can't do anything. Without faith, you can't be saved. Without faith, you can't be healed. Without faith, you can't receive anything from God. Everything you receive from God is by your faith. And I believe that one of the things the devil tries to do, he tries to steal your faith. He tries to tell you, it's not going to happen. There is no way. How is that going to happen? It seems impossible. But praise God, the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it seems like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it smells like, tastes like, touches like. It doesn't matter. Whenever you know the true living God on the inside, there is nothing. Nothing is a compound word meaning no thing can stop God's mighty moving force. Amen. If you know your God and you trust your God and you stand strong in faith, there's nothing that's going to stop you. But the devil will try to steal your faith. If he can steal your faith, he'll steal your joy. He'll steal everything about you. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And if you're not living what you feel is an abundant life, you don't know why Jesus came. I mean, Jesus didn't come for you to live a miserable life. He didn't come for you to be all upset and all down in the dumps and all these kind of things. You know, sometimes I think that we just need to experience Jesus. We need to understand that Jesus Christ came to change our life. You know, it seems sometimes only your life has changed the day you got saved. But so many times, I don't care how long, I don't care if you're a minister, I don't care what you do. What happens is we go through life and all the things, we forget about how good God is. We forget about that Jesus came that we might live an abundant life. You're like, well, I'm not seeing it. Well, we're not moved by what we see. I don't know. I got excited tonight. I didn't really mean to preach. I kind of just went to teach. But I don't know. I said the anointing of God is present tonight. The anointing of God is present at all times. You know, whether we feel it or not, it's still there. In fact, sometimes, you know, we need to do what Paul told Timothy. We need to stir up that gift on the inside of us. When we don't feel like anything, it doesn't matter what we feels like. You know, what we feel like is doesn't matter. You know, sometimes you don't feel like getting out of bed, you know. You know, there has been times when I didn't feel like getting out of bed, but once I got out of bed and started moving around, I felt pretty good. You know, but until I got out of bed, I was tired. But once I got out of bed, things began to, you know, work, whatever. And especially after maybe I got my first coffee or something like that, and that might even help too. But I mean, I don't know. I didn't mean to start preaching, but God is good. What I was going to start with Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17, you're going to know every scripture I'm quoting tonight, you know, but knowing it and living it is two different things. You know, because this says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say that faith comes by having heard the word of God. It says that faith comes by continuing hearing the word of God. And if you ever heard my grandfather's quote the scripture, he would say it this way. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. He says there that the Greek word I don't know because I never looked it up, never cared to look it up, never probably going to look it up. But that Greek word there denotes continuous action. Well, why don't you look it up, Craig? Because why would it matter if I looked it up and told you the Greek word? Number one, I'll probably pronounce it wrong. Number two, if you go around saying the Greek word, nobody would know what you're saying anyway. I mean, you know, how many times I actually got asked this past weekend, now, what does the word rhema mean? What's a Greek word mean? The spoken word. We mean the spoken word of God, but you know, most people don't even know what rhema is. if they say Rhema's a place, Rhema's a school, Rhema's a worldwide ministry, but, you know, that they don't know that Rhema really means the spoken word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we need to continually hear messages on faith. Amen? You know, and sometimes it's amazing that there's even some Rhema grad churches that hardly even preach about faith anymore. And it's amazing whenever you go with just a simple message of faith, oh, that's just so good. Well, you know, we need to hear faith over and over and over again. Now, the Bible says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But, you know, if you think about the Bible times and you think about our times, it's completely different. The Bible times, they didn't have, you know, all the books of the Bible. All right, I mean, this is a church at Rome. I mean, you know, they didn't have all the books of the Bible. And so the only way that they were able to get the word was by somebody preaching the word to them. Where we have it a whole lot better. We have, you know, 66 books in the Bible, and faith can come by reading the word. You know, faith can come, you know, so some people say, well, the only way I can hear the word is through a message. No, you can't. You can read the word. You know, and I encourage you, you know, that maybe you should have some scriptures that you read every day, and some of them probably need to be some faith scriptures. I know that many times, I mean, you know, we have the CD out there, or we actually have it now on an MP3, the healing scriptures. And the reason we have those healing scriptures is because if you need healing, it's good to read those scriptures every day. We have it in book form, we have it in audio form, you know, and my grandfather would told a number of different testimonies. One particular that I remember is there was a family, their family member was in ICU, and they played the CD, or might have been the tape, can't remember what year it was, you know, because we went from tapes to CDs, so now we do MP3s and things like that, you know, depending on, you know, some of you maybe never seen a cassette tape, you know, like, you know, that's a relic or whatever, you know. Some of you are like, I don't even have a DVD player. So it's, I know the world changes. But anyway, so there was a gentleman who was in intensive care, and they got a hold of one of our audio things of healing scriptures, and they played it over and over and over, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And they played it over and over again for several days, and he ended up walking out of that unit. Well, a couple of the nurses in that unit, you know, they were Christians, and they asked, could they keep that the CD or the tape, and can we play it in anyone's room that wanted it? So they actually piped it in. I guess they had some kind of audio recording, and anybody who wanted to hear the healing scriptures, they piped it into their room. I mean, that's so awesome, because, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if there's something you need from God, I challenge you, get a hold of some scriptures, you know, and begin to confess those scriptures, begin to hear them, begin to meditate on it day and night, even while you're sleeping. I mean, you know, you never know what your mind retains when you're sleeping. At my parents' house, when you're sleeping, you had music playing all night long. I mean, there are songs that you can quote, you know, backwards and forwards, because it played all night long. I guess the last thing that Mom would play was Keith Moore's The Peace of God, because we need peaceful at nighttime or whatever. So, you know, I'd fall asleep listening to The Peace of God. It's just that. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I was going to do this next week, but I'm going to read the story from Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse number 8 through 10. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says this: while they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man, with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, so he had to hear Paul preach. So anyway, looking straight at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, "Stand up," and the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Now, a lot of times we read things in the Bible, we clap about them, and that's all we do. But you know what? We need to learn something from this little story here. First of all, there was a man that was sitting there who had never walked a day in his life. Said he was crippled from his mother's womb. And that really, that means something, because it's one thing to have used your legs and walked at one point in time and then had some kind of tragic accident and now you're not able to walk, then never to be able to walk, you know, ever. Because if you've never been able to walk, there's two things. First of all, is your feet and ankle bones, you know, they're not right. And they obviously are very weak because you never use it. You realize the way you build muscle is you use your legs, or you know, some of you might go and work it out all the time. You know, in fact, actually, I was thinking about this today when it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, a lot of times we hear messages on faith or whatever, like, well, I've heard that. You know what? You know, if you're a workout person, you probably work out either every day or 3 days a week. You continue to work out, don't you? Why? Because as you continue to work out, you use your muscles and it helps. And that's the same way with continue to listen on faith. I mean, you know, I'm sure most of us continue to eat on a daily basis. And we continue to feed our faith, not our faith, but our faith. You know, sometimes we overfeed our faith. All right. But here's a man who had never walked, not one day in his life. Now, has anybody ever seen a child? Anyone seen a child? If everyone doesn't raise their hand, I'm going to slap somebody because everyone's seen a child. All right. Does everybody know the development of when a child begins to walk? So the first thing they do is they crawl, right? And then they go what I call the coffee table stage. Anyone know what the coffee table stage is? That's when they pick themselves up on the coffee table and you're like, oh, please don't bang your head on that coffee table and things like that. And then they'll sometimes stand up for a second and then they'll fall down or whatever. And they get to the point where they'll actually take a step or two. Now, this is crazy, I guess, you know. Cameron, my oldest son, he learned to walk. The first time he actually walked was in Plano, Texas. All right, so we were preaching for Gerald Brooks in Plano, Texas. So I remember that. The second two, I have no clue. I don't remember. I guess there's something about your first child or whatever. But I remember the coffee table, you know, phase. That you're like, you don't want them to bang their head and things like that. But the point is, you don't just start walking immediately. All right, I mean, so we have here a double miracle. I mean, it was a miracle that this man's feet and ankle bones, you know, were healed, but that doesn't give him balance. Has anyone ever rode a bicycle? If you forget to put your feet down, you might fall over. Ask our ex-president. It happened to him one time. If you don't put your feet down to stop you, but, you know, once you learn how to ride a bicycle, it's second nature. So, you know, once you've been able to walk, it would be easy to walk, but this guy never walked a day in his life. And I want to tell you that because you realize it takes a lot of faith to actually stand up and walk when you've never walked. So here's a man that's listening to Paul preach. All right, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, you know, my grandfather always said that Paul did three things. First of all, he preached the gospel. You know, sometimes I wonder, and I've thought about this many times, as you listen to someone's message, you know, and, you know, I don't care how eloquent the speaker is. I don't care. I mean, is that message going to help me later on in life? I mean, you know, or how is it going to help me later on in life? You know, but praise God, Paul preached the word. Now, obviously, Paul must have preached about faith. All right, so number one, Paul preached. Number two, Paul perceived that this man had faith to be healed. All right, and you know, as a minister, sometimes as you're preaching, all of a sudden you look at someone and it's like the light bulb comes on. Like ding, 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 they got it. All right. But then Paul did the third thing, which was the hardest thing, is he told the guy to get up and walk. Now you listen, you know, it takes a lot of faith to tell someone who had never walked from any day in his life. And I always, when I tell this story, I don't know why, because one time when I was telling the story, I was trying to figure out, well, wonder how old the guy is. I don't know. I picked 28. Was he 28? I have no clue. But I just figured I'd pick a number. So let's just pick 28. If he's 28, for 28 years, this man had never walked a day in his life. And because he came to hear a man preach the gospel, he left changed that day. You know what? If we would come and hear the word of God, it can change us too. Do you realize that Paul's faith message was probably okay, but I mean, some of us have heard a lot of messages on faith. I pride myself to probably have heard more faith messages than anybody else I know, because I traveled with my grandfather, would travel with my father. Used to, I would say my grandmother probably heard more messages than me, but she's been passed for many years, because I've not only heard my grandfather preach, I've not only heard my father preach, I've heard myself preach on faith. And so I probably, after 55 years, might have heard more faith messages than anybody else I know, because I very seldom did I ever hear my grandfather preach where he didn't preach on faith. Why? Because that's the reason we have a faith shield up here. The Lord told my grandfather to go teach my people faith. And that's the mandate that we take, and that's what I do. I go teach faith. Because without faith, you can't do anything. So anyway, think about this. This is Paul. Here's a guy. We're pretending he's 28. For 28 years, he's never walked. He's sitting there. The light bulb came on. But then this takes a lot of faith. Paul told the guy to get up and walk. Think about that. But you realize that when Paul told him to get up and walk, he didn't start walking. He did, but he had to do something. See, the man also had to do something. See, a lot of times we think, well, we don't have to do anything. And because we think we don't have to do anything, we're like, well, God's going to do it for us. No, sometimes you got to get up. Because, see, the man did three things as well. The man heard Paul preach. All right? So, you have to hear the word of God preach. And if you don't hear the word of God preach, you can't get healed. You can't get saved. But the man, heard Paul preach. While the man heard Paul preach, he actually felt in his heart that he had faith to walk. Now, this is one message. One message this man heard. And because he heard one message on the subject of faith, he evidently thought to himself, you know what? I'm going to accept this thing and I'm going to walk. So when the light bulb came on, so secondly, the man got faith. Thirdly, when Paul said, stand up on your feet, he got up. It takes a lot of faith to get up whenever you've never got up. But he got up. And not only get up, it says he jumped up and began walking, leaping, praising God. That's so awesome. And we clap about it. So I want to ask you, why aren't we having that same kind of faith? Why don't we believe? Well, yeah, but that guy got it immediately. Yeah, but see, whenever you have faith, it comes in immediately. See, a lot of times, yeah, but I don't see it. That guy saw it immediately. Well, he didn't see it till he got up. Maybe you need to get up. Maybe you need to actually start believing it. See, the thing is, the light bulb on this guy came on. But I've heard so many, Brother Craig, I mean, that works for other people, but I don't know if it works for me. Well, that's not faith. You don't know. Or what happens is what I told you. What happens is the devil comes in and, a lot of times what happens whenever we start out in faith, and then because of life, because of the economy, because of this, because of that, because of what the doctor says, because of what your friends say, because of what everybody, all of a sudden you begin to lose that faith. The devil tries to get you off your game. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. So? I mean, a lot of things don't look like they're going to happen. But remember, the keynote scripture for our ministry, Jesus talked about moving a mountain and throwing it into the sea. Does that happen all the time? No. The deal is that we look at the impossible and we think, well, there is no way. But see, you're not God. You're not God. I mean, you're thinking with your natural mind. In the natural mind, maybe there is no way. But you know what? We got to put our faith in God. And it doesn't matter what it seems like, because you know what? There's no way, there's no physical way in the natural that a guy can come and listen to a message that had never walked a day in his life for, like I said, we're saying 28 years, and he can leave that place walking and leaping and praising God. How's that going to happen? I mean, in the natural, there is no way. But the thing is that we're not moved by natural things. The Bible says only believe, that all things are possible to them that believes. Which also means that nothing is possible if you don't believe. And a lot of times that we want to say we're believing, but we don't feel like it on the inside. A lot of times we confess things, but we don't act on what we confess. And I always joke about, you know, the old saying that many of us say sometimes, or used to, at least the older Christians, used to wake up in the morning and say, "This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it." And then they go down to the breakfast table and gripe with their kids, gripe with their wife, go to work, gripe with their colleagues, gripe with their... I thought we're going to rejoice in the day. See, they said that because that's a confession that they say every day, but they're not being a doer of God's word. They're just saying the word. Just because you say the word, I mean, if you're going to say this is the day the Lord made, we're going to rejoice and be glad, then rejoice and be glad in your day. Now, I'm going to tell you, during your day, you're going to have many opportunities not to rejoice and not to be glad, but you're going to have to pass over those opportunities and move forward. You know, and that's just the way it is. All right, we all live life. And every day in life that you face opportunities not to believe, not to be happy, not to be joyful, but you just have to decide, it doesn't matter. So now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, where I was planning to start the beginning anyway, because it's really hard to talk about faith if you don't know what faith is. All right, Hebrews 11, 1 explains it. It says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I like the word where it says now faith, because when faith comes in, it's always now. All right? Now, it says that my faith is the evidence of things I don't see. All right? So whenever that I believe God in faith for something, you know, I get my answer immediately by faith. I don't see it, but my faith is the evidence of my answer. Now, I don't see the physical evidence until maybe sometime later. Now, in this situation, this man, sometime later, see, faith came in, and it was only a few minutes later when Paul told the guy to get up. So he got his evidence, he got his natural evidence pretty quickly. But what if you don't get your natural evidence overnight? What happens then? And see, that's where a lot of us are. And that's where the devil comes in and tries to steal your faith. Because you didn't get it overnight. And so what happens when people don't get it overnight? They're like, "I guess it doesn't work for me." Well, that's not faith. See, faith comes, and when faith comes in, it's there now, and you know, and you have it. Your faith is the evidence of things you cannot see. See, we live in a natural world where we're looking for things that we can see. So, the people who are really good at faith also had an imaginary friend growing up. I don't know if some of you, you know, we're all different generations. I was part of the Mr. Rogers, you know, "It's a Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood, a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." That was my generation, Mr. Rogers, Electric Company, and Sesame Street. Now, my son Cameron, he grew up in the Barney generation. And Barney had a song about imagination. You know, I'm not going to sing it there, but Barney's a purple dinosaur. For some of you who happen to be younger than that, you could Google it and figure out about Barney. But Barney's song about imagination. And I think about imagination a lot of times because if I have a great imagination, you know, then it helped my faith because, you know, I can imagine I have something when I don't see it. Because you imagine you had a friend who didn't exist. I actually remember one time, this is kind of funny. So one time, I don't remember exactly why or what, We say, but we're downtown. You know, anyone come to camp meeting downtown? We had wonderful times downtown camp meeting. And we called up a number of alumni on one afternoon. I think it was Thursday, Rhema Day. One afternoon, called up, you know, to like give some testimonies or whatever. And this one one guy, I've been friends with him a long time. He walked up, you know, introduced himself. He says, you know, my name is. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to embarrass him. And then he goes, and this is my wife, Faith. Faith wasn't there, you know. But I thought that was great. I mean, he used his imagination right there. This is my wife, Faith. And put his arm around him, air, whatever. So Faith came later. But her name wasn't Faith. But anyway, that's a whole other thing, you know. But, if you're good at imagination, maybe you're good at faith. Because, you know, you don't have to see it. Now, I remember, anybody remember the "Oh, what a feeling," the Toyota commercial, and people are jumping up and down, you know, because they got a new car. Anyway, I like that because that's Price is Right. My grandmother loved Price is Right, watched Price is Right all the time. You know, and I can't just say a new car. I always have to say a new car because that's how to do with Price is Right. But anyway, what happens, they get a Toyota, they jump up and down. And I heard my grandfather talk about this one time. Says, see, that's how you should be the day you pray for whatever you desire. Because, see, if you actually received it by faith, then you can jump up and down before you see the new car or the new house or the money or whatever you're putting your faith out for. See, that's the time to jump up and down because, see, now faith comes in immediately. See, a faith is not a hoping because, see, you know, it says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is not faith. All right? You know, a lot of times you get in hope first and then you get in faith. You decide, hey, I'm going to believe. Do you know a lot of times people want something but they don't believe for it? I mean, there has been times, I actually remember this, and I believe I actually talk about it in my first book, The Power of God, or for some of you that speak Spanish, El Poder de Dios, it's available in English and Spanish, as an ebook as well, online. And in that, I talk about believing God for golf clubs. Now, I wanted golf clubs for a long time, but I never asked the Lord for it. The whole story comes down to was I was actually at my grandfather's meeting. I know we were in Virginia. I think we were in Richmond, Virginia. It doesn't really matter where we are. It doesn't matter what day it was. It doesn't matter what time it was. But I will tell you it was the morning service. But anyway, you know, because my grandfather always says, you know, this day, that day, whatever. It doesn't really matter what day. You know, it was a number of years ago. I will say that because I've got older. But I was sitting there listening to my grandfather minister on faith. And it all of a sudden hit me, you know, I want golf clubs. My wife doesn't want me to have golf clubs. She don't care if I have golf clubs. She don't want me to spend the money on golf clubs. So how am I going to get my golf clubs? Well, I'm just going to believe God for them. So it hit me. So at that point in time, decided I went from hoping or wanting some golf clubs to actually having a contract with God, so to speak. Thank you, Father, for my new golf clubs. And this is what I told the Lord. I said, I'm going to assume anytime someone gives me one of these quote-unquote Pentecostal handshakes, that those are money for my golf clubs. And anytime that I earn extra money doing who knows what or nothing, then those money go to my golf clubs. So, it was pretty simple prayer. It wasn't really a thing. But then at that time I was playing golf very often. Now I don't play golf very often at all. And so every time that I went to play golf, as I'm swinging, especially when I hit an errant shot, which was a lot, because my golf game was not that good, that I would thank God for my new golf clubs. Every day, I mean, you know, every day I'd wake up, thank God for my new golf clubs. I mean, I just said over and over again. So 2 weeks later, I think 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, it doesn't really matter. You know, I slept, you know, a couple times. And then I was at a place and they had a contest that there was a 30-foot putt. And it was at a trade show, 30-foot putt. And if you could make this 30-foot putt, You got $500. So they act, and it wasn't like a 30-foot putt, you know, where everything was even. They just put some, you know, it'd be like, you know, getting a 30-foot putt right here, but this is probably actually more flat than that was, because they just threw out some astroturf on a cement floor and said, go for it. Well, I was the first one to attempt this 30-foot putt. And so they had done the math about this thing. And actually, we got five putts because basically we got five different putts. And it was me and Tim Rogers from Raymond, Mexico. He was actually still working here for the ministry. And so they had done the math. And in a whole week, only one person should make that putt. All right? I'm the first guy. First time up, I'm not the best golfer in the world. I go up, one putt, boom, I make it, $500. As soon as I make it, it was a Christian convention, I'm like, praise God. And I give them a golf club story. I said, you know what, I'm believing God for new golf clubs. You know, I thank God for many opportunities, and there it goes, that's $500. That's for my new golf clubs. And so here's the thing, we had four more putts. So I like, Tim, go ahead, you know, take it. So on the, he took one putt he missed. And Tim's a great golfer, all right? So his second putt, guess what? Tim puts it in, another $500. So Tim goes, you know, praise God. And he gives a story. Hey, I'm fixing to go to Mexico, you know, I can use the extra $500. So now we have two more putts. So Tim goes, well, Craig, you do the last two. So I missed the last two, but so we made $1,000 right there, $500 for my golf clubs, and then, you know, many different things happen. But moral of the story, if you know anything, you know, golf clubs, you have what we call irons, and then you have woods, you know, then you have a golf bag. Moral of the story, I only believe God for the irons. Moral of the story, after it's all said and done, about a month after I prayed, I got new irons, new woods, new bag, new shoes, new hat, new golf balls, new golf tees. Because you know what the Bible says? That we can have exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or think. So, you know, but I'm here to tell you, I looked really good. That didn't improve my golf game. But I looked the part. I mean, you know, God just blessed me exceedingly, abundantly, more than I can ask or think. And that's a small little thing. But you know what? When I said my prayer, I believed. Now, this took a month or so. Actually, it was the bad thing about it is whenever I can, you know, when I finished getting all these gifts, it was middle of camp meeting, and I couldn't go and get my golf club until after camp meeting was over. So that was really kind of a thing. But God blessed me, you know, and it was awesome. Now, the thing is when I prayed is when I got my golf clubs. Now, I didn't see my golf clubs till a month later. That only took a month, but what if it takes longer than a month? We keep believing, and we keep believing, and we keep believing. Now, it does help sometimes when it's a financial thing if you get a little bit here and a little bit, because see, you know, I got that $500. People gave me maybe a $20 blessing out the door and things like that, you know, or something, you know. It doesn't matter. But every time that someone blessed me, you know what I tell them? I said, thank you. And I would tell them, you know, what I'm believing God for. I mean, you know, because it's the same thing too. Let me say this. You know, a lot of times when the offering goes by, whether we give digitally or put it in the pocket, you know, a lot of times we just give. You know, somebody, you might maybe have a need. Why don't we ever give? You should say, thank you, Father, that this particular need's met. Maybe you're going to miss a trip. Maybe you're doing this. Maybe you're doing that. Maybe you want some new golf clubs. I don't know. I mean, summertime's coming up, and, you know, I'm my faith is we're not going to get cold weather anymore. Winter's done. All right? That's where my faith is. You know, I want to say that because my college, you know, freshman year, spring break, we got 11.5 inches of snow. So, you know, I have to hold out past spring break before, you know, but no. And it looks like really good weather. And I'm out of time. So we're going to pick up next week with Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. I'm here to tell you, in 2 weeks, you're not going to get everything on faith. All right? I guess I have a new CD or new MP3 series on Number Messages on Faith. This particular series is taken from my Faith Library 2 class. So some of you Rhema students, you're fixing fourth term, you're going to have me for a number of weeks. You're going to hear my whole faith message. But you know what? When faith comes in, it's always now. Amen. Let's all stand up. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everything you're doing in our lives, Father. Father God, we just thank you to help us to understand, you know what, it doesn't matter how bad it seems or how impossible it seems. Help us understand that we can have faith, that we can believe, that we can receive, that it's all going to be okay. We're going to make it no matter how hard it seems or how impossible it looks. You know what, we serve the God that's more than enough, that wants to bless us exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or think. Father God, we just pray a special blessing on each and every person that's in this room and each and every person that's watching online. And we thank you, Father, for just helping them all the days of their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, we have some gentlemen over here. We have some ladies over there. You can come talk to them. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you tonight. Connection team is in the aisle, and they have a gift we have for you. Continue to pray for Mom and Dad and the Crusade team. They're in Apopka, Florida, which is the north part of Orlando, if you want to know where Apopka, Florida is. Continue to pray for them. Don't forget, back here, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a wonderful day.